I mean, there actually, you know, it's just, I mean, like, I like Jaws. I love Jaws. It's a really great movie. I love it.
But I mean, it's better than that Raiders of the Lost Ark piece of shit.
Not to me, it's not. But it's not one of my all time favorites.
At least you didn't argue that Raiders of the Lost Ark was a piece of shit. It's just he prefers it to Jaws.
It's not a piece of shit. But Jaws is perfect movie.
But and I like Jaws. I mean, it's a great movie. But it's just not one of my favorites. I just I'm happy just watching on TV. Now there's one that I do want to see that I saw they had coming up.
Jaws Revenge.
Batman. I never saw Batman 89 in the theater. Never.
But you can see it for free.
You can watch it.
You don't have to pay $18 to go see it. You can just watch it for
I'll go see
that one. I still enjoy that movie quite a bit.
Because I did the same thing with Jurassic Park when they did the 20th anniversary.
I don't want to use the term it holds up, but I still love it.
Batman 89 is good. I mean, the thing I hate about people who complain about like the Nolan movies, they're like, that's not really Batman. I'm like, well, the Joker isn't really responsible for Bruce Wayne becoming Batman either, so that's not Batman either, technically. So, you know.
So it's always bits and pieces pulled from here and there. It's never some true form of anything.
Right.
Except for when they do the Fantastic Four and they get it right every time.
Yeah.
Always. All right.
In a little movie series called Incredibles. Welcome to episode 168 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
Woo!
Yee-hoo-hoo!
And on this episode, we welcome back friend of the show, Matt King, to discuss...
Boo!
Incredibles 2 and Jurassic World 2. I'm not going to give the whole title, because fuck it. You can reach us at Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen Kingdom.
Right.
You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or head on over to Facebook, search for Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page.
And as we now know, what they're referring to when they say Fallen Kingdom is the franchise itself.
So. Still making a lot of fucking money. Welcome, Matt.
What's up?
Jurassic World 2 Fallen Kingdom is
out.
It's a movie, all right.
Stars actors.
It has actors.
Yeah.
Speaking lines.
It has Jeff Goldblum.
Whatever. Down. That was the biggest bait and switch ever.
Yeah, he's like his name's on the fucking like moniker. Like he's on like the poster, like starring Jeff Goldblum. It's, oh, wait, you blink, you miss.
I was late to the movie. Wait, where's Jeff Goldblum? I guess the big news, because we haven't done an episode in a couple weeks. People are busy doing stuff. Our last episode, we had Andre here with Matt, and we did Solo, and we talked a little bit about Last Jedi.
And how we were right, and he was wrong.
Yes.
I don't remember that.
And, now you made me lose my train of thought, you asshole. the big news, I guess, is that it looks like Disney is going to get Fox. Comcast came in and made an offer that was all cash.
It was clearly probably likely just to raise Disney.
I think Comcast really wants, because Comcast,
I'm surprised
apparently
they didn't come back. They had to know Disney was gonna.
Well, I think what Fox they said after that, after Disney raised their look, they're like, look, we want to go with Disney, so
they're basically
fuck off, you know.
Like, but it's not like Comcast was ever gonna be able to match whatever Disney could offer.
I don't know, maybe. But the other thing is too is that what I've read is that apparently the guy who runs Comcast and Bob Iger like fucking hate each other. Like they hate each other.
So, you think that'd be like you'd want to bite you so you could fire his ass,
right? Well, like Comcast, part of it was like, I'm gonna tick my thumb and stick it in your eye. You know, that's probably what it was. But you know, it's got to go through all the regulatory stuff. But AT&T was approved by Congress.
Well, the sale's already been approved. It's just Fox has
to
accept it, basically.
Yeah, right.
And I think they just extended the sale
to give Comcast more time to make an offer if they're going to. But
ugh, God. All right.
But Fox already said that they don't want to go with Comcast because they think that it won't get approved.
Well, it's I think Disney's it's not
already
just,
approved. Like
Disney's said. Already approved.
I think it's not just that. It's also some of the language that they had kind of reminded me a little bit of when Lucas sold Lucasfilm to Disney
for $4 billion.
Yeah, I know. That's a fucking pennies in, right. pissing in the toilet for compared to this.
Right.
But they kind of said similar things. You know, like that we want our stuff to go with Disney because Disney's a good, you know, curator and blah 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 yada yada yada. Whatever. We want X-Men and Fantastic Four. So, yeah, so we'll see what happens. Suffice to say, Fantastic Four is probably not going to show up in Avengers 4. So,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. They've got enough to do. I don't think
yeah, it's
need,
okay.
They don't
it's
need
okay.
anybody else.
Ant-Man comes out this week. Strangely, not on the 4th, which is really bizarre.
Weird.
Because the 4th is on a Wednesday.
You think maybe they wanted to do, they maybe had set up private screeners on the 4th, maybe? And that's
I don't
why?
Know.
I mean, why else would you not do national-wide release on the holiday?
I don't know.
It's weird.
The only thing I think of is because international. I think it's all coming out on the same day everywhere.
No.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's not coming out in the UK until like August.
Oh, well, fuck that then. Well, fuck my theory then.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't come out on the 4th. I mean, I get, well, are they afraid of the first Purge? Are they afraid of that movie? Yeah. It's going to cut in our business.
kind of doubt it. I don't know. Maybe because it's in the middle of the week. You know?
Yeah, but traditionally when movies come out in the middle of the week, Wednesday is like an okay time to do it. Like Star Wars used to do it all the time.
It's hardly any different than Thursday. They just tack on the extra day to get.
Well, no, I mean, what would have happened is like if it came out on Wednesday,
Tuesday night
would have been when we go see it. But yeah, it was just bizarre. It just like if the 4th was like tomorrow, Tuesday, then I'd be like, okay, I understand. But it's right.
I'm sure there's a reason we're just not smart enough.
It was just bizarre
to figure it out.
And I'm very upset that I haven't found a clip yet of Paul Rudd on Conan O'Brien promoting this movie.
I know.
yeah, that's pretty sad.
He was there for the last one.
Got another piece ruined last night in the new trailer. I didn't want to see the new trailer, but saw the new trailer and ruined another.
I hadn't seen
little,
that one.
Little bag.
I had avoided it. Yeah. I didn't even know there was a new trailer.
And why they were showing trailers if in front of a movie that's from 1975? I don't know.
They had. I'm surprised they didn't show like old trailers.
No,
like you know,
but that's different. That's the Carolina theaters,
right?
Yeah,
but. No, I saw the regular trailer, which I guess was the second trailer that came out for it, but it had a different ending because I think it was a whole different piece to it. Oh, okay, it's when I went to go see Incredibles 2 again because it's terrible and they had a different ending to the trailer than they did.
Well, I guess this one had a different ending too, but it was
it started out like the other one, but then midway through there was all new footage.
Yeah,
God,
yeah, I didn't need to see that. But looking forward to Wasp.
Yeah. And her probably vanishing. So,
disappearing to the quantum realm.
Because that concept art, we didn't talk about that either. Mm-hmm. That concept art leaked.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks pretty official. Like, it looks real.
She's too small.
No, because Ant-Man's right there.
Oh, so what? They have to be big in some time?
Yes.
That's
how it works.
He has to give her permission to come back.
Right, of course, right. As would be. Right?
They're already letting Fox infiltrate their writing. Fox News.
Yeah, no, Fox wants to make it grittier and more realistic, so she's an actual Wasp.
But the catch is she only works in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's Fox.
There was I'll talk about that when we do Jurassic World. It was a funny joke I saw online. No, this concept art leaked for Avengers 4 that it shows the team with Brie Larson in it, and it shows a very different Hulk.
Yes,
which people are suspecting could be Smart Hulk.
Yeah, right. Professor Hulk.
Professor Hulk. Yeah.
Which
would
be you don't want the it's the Maestro. You don't want the Maestro.
No, we don't want the Maestro.
You want Professor Hulk.
Yeah, Professor Hulk.
So that could be interesting. That could be really cool if they do that. But Wasp isn't on the poster.
What's the idea there? He learns to control.
He kind of merges them
together.
Yeah. It's happened a bunch of times in the comics.
Yeah.
I wanted to see Joe fix it. Honestly, I really want Joe fix it, but that's not going to happen.
I'm okay with that.
Joe fix it was he got it where he became the Hulk at night and he was Bruce Banner in the daytime, and Joe fix it was like a smarter Hulk. like he could communicate and stuff like that. And he was like,
at night he would be
Joe. And he was gray. He went back to gray.
Gray Hulk. Just say Gray Hulk, man. I know what you're talking about.
But and
well,
then
it's a little bit different.
And then Mr. Fix-It, he was like a mob enforcer or something like that.
Yeah, he wore like a tuxedo.
Like a Hulk wore tuxedo.
Yeah, it was weird.
With a hat and, you know.
I don't like that.
No, it's a dumb idea.
I got introduced to Mr. Fix-It.
Did he like flip a coin?
No, that's Two-Face. I got introduced to Mr. Fix-It when, because there was an issue of Incredible Hulk where he fights Wolverine and Todd McFarlane drew it. It's a pretty, there's a pretty famous cover that he did. It's really, really good. Anyway, now I'm speaking Greek and Dirty A's eyes are glazing over. Tattoo. So,
but Captain Marvel was in the leaked art for Avengers 4.
Nice.
With her red and blue suit. So
right.
Nice. You know that.
Well, they think that Sam Jackson might have leaked the helmet, that she's going to have the helmet in the comic.
Yeah. I don't know if that was it. I don't know if she's going to have that helmet.
It said Captain, but it said like, at first I thought
it
was just
the shirt. It said it's on like
special effects. I thought it was just effects for the comic book. But then when it said FSFX, I was like, ooh, maybe that is in the movie. Another thing that Dirty A's are probably very happy about, finally got a teaser poster for Glass.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't watched Split or whatever.
You haven't watched Split?
What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
You got to watch that.
Yeah. There's a list somewhere.
He keeps in a little book like Captain America. I'll put it on the list.
Yeah. Star Wars.
One movie you... he'd seen Star Wars. He crossed it off the list. One movie you don't need to put on your list is Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, which is also known as Jurassic World 2. This Jurassic World was written by Derek Connolly and... a guy whose stock is rapidly falling, Colin Trevorrow. He did Safety Not Guaranteed, which was great.
He wrote this in the midst of being fired.
he did Safety Not Guaranteed, which was great. He did Jurassic World and had a hand in that script, but there were a bunch of writers. There was like a kitchen, a bunch of cooks in the kitchen for that one. And that went on to make a ton of money. Then they tapped him to do Star Wars Episode 9.
And then
he then released a movie called The Book of Henry, which is a god awful mess. And then he was, as Dirty A says, untapped to do Episode 9.
Yeah.
And now he wrote this one with his writing partner Derek Connolly. Oh. And then apparently he's going to direct the third one. I think the third Jurassic World.
Who cares?
No.
This movie is not good. Everything that's wrong with the first Jurassic World is like doubly so in this because
it's repeated. First of all,
well, that's the problem. It's literally they take the script of that one. They say, "Oh, did anyone say new intelligent predator dinosaur?
Another raptor hybrid?
Yeah,
want to do it?"
And then they're like, "I don't know if that's quite enough. Well, what if we do what Jurassic Park 2 did?"
Right.
And take them to the mainland. Right. Oh, I think you've got something. But wait, we need to have a twist. Human clones.
Okay. We don't have to get into that yet. It basically takes the dumbest part of Jurassic World, which is that they're going to militarize the dinosaurs. And then they double down on it in this movie. They really double down. I'm thinking that this movie is basically like the prequel. And the next movie is going to be Dino Riders. Right. It's going to be the sequel.
Right.
Somebody posted this joke online where they said, "I want the third Jurassic Park movie to take place, Jurassic World, to take place far in the future, where dinosaur scientists have cloned a human from a mosquito, but then they accidentally splice." And they create Jeff Goldblum, but they accidentally splice the DNA, and now you have a human mosquito. Bam! It's a fly sequel. you just walk into a fly sequel.
You just played yourself.
If you've seen the trailers, you probably know how stupid this movie is. But
know the entire movie because they
give away everything.
I don't know that you do know how dumb it is just from the trailer.
I did.
Well, I mean, I knew it was going to be dumb, but
it was a new level of stupid.
Yeah, it really was.
If you're going to see Jeff Goldblum, basically just show up in the very beginning of the movie, go see something else, and then come back at the end. And you've seen all the Jeff Goldblum you need to see in this movie.
Yeah, he's just sitting in a chair testifying to some random
Congress or
Congress committee.
If that's necessary.
Yeah.
Hey, do we think the dinosaurs are bad after they keep killing people over and over again?
Should we save them? We got them in a refrigerator over here, but should we save these?
In their defense, they made the right decision. They said, we're not going to fucking waste money on this. Are you crazy? What happens is
We got sports people to indict, and bills not to pass.
we got to run through this, because we have a good movie to talk about after this. So,
Jaws.
Sure. Jaws. So, the plot is right in the trailer, like Matt said. There's a volcano on, was it Isla Nublar? Whatever it is.
Yeah, okay, who cares?
The Jurassic World is closed, obviously, after what happened in the last movie. And there's a volcano threatening the island, and Bryce Dallas Howard suddenly is like this conservationist now.
All of a sudden, it's their role reversal. It's that trope of the character swap between the stars and Chris Pratt doesn't care anymore, and Bryce Dallas Howard's like, oh, we gotta save the dinos.
They want to save the dinosaurs for some reason, and whereas Matt pointed out, you could just make more, so who cares?
Yeah.
So they go, and the Congress says, no, we're not gonna fucking save them because that's fucking stupid. And
that's literally anyone's first question in the trailer is, why don't they just use the DNA they have to make more if that's what they want to do? I don't understand.
And then James Cromwell plays this mega rich guy who was apparently John Hammond's original partner.
Never heard of that before. Never seen him.
First hearing about this guy.
No, yeah. You could at least make
silent
him,
partner.
You could at least make him like somehow begrudging because Hammond pushed him out or something like that. So that's why you didn't hear from him. But no, they were buddies.
Well, he did. I think
it didn't really. I didn't get that feeling.
I didn't either.
I didn't get that.
I guess not because I guess
they were friends. They were
no. That's right because it couldn't have been that because of the age.
Yeah.
So, he says, oh, we're going to take one of each species and put them on a sanctuary. And I'm like, where they will then eventually die because they can't breed.
Because they can't. Then 40 days and 40 nights of a flood will wipe out the world and only the dinosaurs will be left.
Well, yes, because they took one of each species, yes. But also because, I mean, I think in 20 years they probably might have worked out the whole,
DNA sequencing again.
No, that
the females
that they're not going to breed. Not going to breed.
I don't think they wanted. That wasn't necessarily the guy's goal, right?
Well, no, it was his goal. It wasn't the guy who works for him.
Correct.
Played by Rafe Spall.
Correct.
Rafe Spall. If you've seen The Big Short,
you're talking
about James
Cromwell. That was right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Rafe Spall is if he's been in a bunch of stuff, but if you saw The Big Short a couple years ago, he was. Danny, who worked for Steve Carell, he was the real optimistic guy all the time. He was funny in that movie. He's not funny in this movie at all.
No.
Nor is he good.
No.
No, he's not. Because the trailer gives that away, too. It's a double cross, and you can see it coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
Apparently, they need Blue, the hero of the last movie, because Blue is off. Blue is off trying to find the old Jedi texts and trying, living on an island, trying to build a lightsaber, and that's how Bryce Dallas Howard gets Chris Pratt involved, and then
I like how they spend the first quarter of the movie saying you'll never catch that dinosaur. And within 5 minutes, hey, there he is!
There he is! Wow. There she is!
Oh, there she is! There he is!
There he goes! And so then they go to the island, and Buffalo Bill's there. I mean, Ted Levine.
Yeah.
And, he is in no way, weird.
He puts the raptor in the basket.
Again, he kept collecting dinosaur teeth, and I leaned over and I said, wouldn't it make more sense if he collected the skin?
I'd fuck him.
There's a double cross, and then the movie gets really dumb. They kidnap the dinosaurs, and then Toby Jones comes in to start auctioning them off to rich people so they can get capital.
This is after the unnecessarily sinister Ted Levine leaves Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard and the group on the island to die for no reason.
Right.
Like, I mean, okay, you got your dinosaurs. I don't know why you need to feel the need to kill people like that. All right.
Because they know that. From Vince Vaughn, they know that one guy can upset the apple cart.
Right.
So that movie was terrible too. So They go to the old man's mansion, and how the fuck they get dinosaurs in there, I have no fucking clue.
Yeah,
but anyway,
it's a mansion, but it's not like a fucking 20-foot tall mansion.
It's like the X. It's like the X mansion, I guess. It's got like sub basements on sub basements.
Underground must be ridiculous.
And what Race Ball's trying to do is he's trying to auction off the dinosaurs to rich assholes so that he can get the capital to militarize more dinosaurs because they made this new raptor. And they needed Blue. They needed Blue because Chris Pratt taught Blue, and apparently learned behavior is in your DNA. Apparently, I guess, I don't know. So
I don't know if y'all realize this, but the depth perception they played in this movie is so fucking skewed for the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
like when
how did the Brachiosaurus get in there?
Like when Bryce Dallas Howard when they're on the island in the computer room and they got that duct.
Right,
that's as tall as her, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a T Rex comes barreling through.
Oh, it wasn't a T Rex. It was.
Oh, okay,
it was,
yeah,
but
it wasn't a T Rex. Yeah, you're like, what the fuck, man? There's no way dinosaurs fitting in that.
Oh, thing. And also, apparently, lava isn't that hot. So, I mean, this movie is like so bonkers and stupid. It boggles.
Well,
the
Chris
mind.
Pratt dies in a kind of classic flow within 5 minutes. Or he would if this movie had any basis
right.
in reality whatsoever.
Right, yeah.
Because he gets swallowed by the lava cloud, the float. And right. sorry.
You're done after
he
that.
He is dead.
You're done after
right.
that. As soon as you take one breath,
yeah, dead.
Yeah.
Done.
No, apparently.
Well, I mean, he should have been dead when he was paralyzed on the island. The lava got that close to him.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah.
He's
bait.
I don't know if if this is right or not, because it's been a long time, but since I read it, but I'm pretty sure I read that as soon as some lava touches something, it just incinerates basically. So it's like it catches fire, and then this dinosaur comes in there and lava drips on its head, and it's just like whatever.
Ow!
I have very thick skin.
Ow!
He sounds just like that.
And it's literally like 4 inches away from Chris Pratt's face.
Right. Yeah, I know, right. It's so stupid.
So anyway. No burns or anything.
No,
right. not a sunburn or a skin rash.
No sweat.
So they have this super dinosaur because it worked out so great last time.
Yeah.
And does the dinosaur get out? Yes, it does. And for some reason, the dinosaur barrels through the house chasing after James Cromwell's granddaughter. But then it says, you know what? I'm going to take a different tactic. Instead of crashing into her bedroom, I'm going to sneak on the roof. And I'm going to sneak in like a ninja.
Well, first of all, it clearly knows where she is that time. But when it's in the lobby, it can't figure out that they're just behind. Like, it can't figure out that they're just behind a statue. Like, it's like, I don't know where it is.
There was another thing where, it had prey, like, right there. I forget who it was, the people that were there. And then it decides to ignore the prey and then go after these other people running away. I'm like, no, that's not how animals work. they go after the weak thing so they can eat, and then maybe they're going. It's so stupid.
You didn't mention the way they militarized the
Indoraptor. So let's do talk about this, because I leaned over and I said, if it requires a weapon that you have to be close enough to get a laser scope on, don't you think you could just use a machine gun?
Or a tank?
Anything.
So dumb.
It basically requires a gun that is a handheld targeting system that, puts a laser pointer
on
the target, and then the dinosaur goes crazy. And then you press a button.
Does a sound thing,
the dinosaur goes after it. And you're just thinking, you don't really need a dinosaur to do that.
No.
I mean, as soon as you target them, just shoot them.
It really actually seems a little overly complicated for a weapon at that point.
It was a lot like Clear and Present Danger, where they had the laser and they painted the house, but then a fucking missile came and destroyed it.
Right. Exactly. That's what happened. Because
they didn't need a dinosaur. They had missiles.
You don't need a pet you can't control, and you have to feed, and you have to cart around everywhere.
No, but 38, that's why they need Blue. That's why they need Blue.
Right. What war are they going to fight with these dinosaurs?
I don't know.
The Planet of the Apes? I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, is it supposed to, weed out Al-Qaeda, in a mountain?
That's what they wanted. That's what Vincent D'Onofrio said in the last one.
Yeah.
He goes, he'll run through the caves and do-do-do-do-do. It's so stupid.
Well, you got to run behind him with a laser pointer going click, 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 click. I mean, it's...
It doesn't know where to run until you tell it where to run.
Yeah, and when does it stop? It only responds to the beep.
It makes no sense.
But then
no.
It's like, what, does it lose it? None and then you have to click sense. On something None else and go beep.
Who?
Shh. I hate this movie.
It's so bad. It's so
dumb.
I mean, was it entertainment fodder for a general audience? Okay, I guess
it has.
Can,
I mean, it,
I
it,
guess you can give it that.
I mean,
the dinosaur stuff isn't even that cool.
It's not smart. It's not a good story.
No, I laughed because it was so stupid.
The
you will root for the dinosaurs.
If anything, I would have just wanted to see more dinosaur fights.
Yeah.
If that's the way they were going to go with this, and just
they like sprinkled some in the beginning just to be like, all right, there's your dinosaur fight. But then there was nothing else.
I love how the water dinosaur like escapes in the beginning of the movie and then doesn't show up again until the very end of the movie. I'm like, you didn't run into anything else along the way? It's like
they built that up to be such a huge thing.
Well, that's the thing is that I get it. It's exponential, but
he'll be back
like,
in the Meg.
I get that it's exponential, but it's like at the end, it's like, well, the dinosaur's already out. He's a giant, water dinosaur.
Yeah.
He got out long time ago. Okay.
The other thing, the B story that's going on in this movie, I guess if you can call it that, is that there's
it's all B stories.
It is. Spoiler alert, I guess, because this is the only twist, quote twist, that's in the movie.
Yeah, I already gave that away.
I know it did, okay. But. The little girl who is James Cromwell's, and why do they always have to have kids in these movies? You don't need anyway. The little girl that is in James Cromwell's living with him. She's his granddaughter. Quote unquote. You find out that she's actually a clone of the mother.
They keep mentioning the mother died.
Like
you look just like the mother.
Which I thought was an interesting extrapolation off of like the technology.
I don't know. Every time she's on screen, you hear in the background.
You do, yeah.
Because it is telegraphed. Everything about this twist is telegraphed.
Absolutely.
It just gets louder and louder. Like, they're showing the picture of the girl.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. She's the exact same age.
Yeah. To be fair, I didn't even pick up on that because I was so disinterested.
I didn't either. Because
or maybe I'm just that dumb.
What,
I don't know.
What I was busy focusing on is I was thinking, because of the way this movie's been going, I'm like, who is she related to? Like, who is her mother? Which former character is her mother? And I got stuck on that. And so then when they revealed, I was like, that's kind of neat. That's kind
of
neat.
That's the end of
But then that's it.
Yeah, that
Until
didn't go anywhere.
Until the very,
with that.
Very end. And they didn't do anything.
Okay, it was truly to set up the end.
It was
just
to set up one decision at the very end. Which
the
is
dumbest decision in
the
world.
The world's dumbest decision. Right. She is now responsible for
the literal,
death of
the literal world ending dumbest decision.
Yes.
Well, not really. There's only 11 of them.
That's another thing. Like, I don't get what the big deal was.
That's true. They killed
the super dinosaur, right? And then there's only 11 of them.
And
half of them are probably herbivores. So it's like,
it felt like there was more, though. They certainly seemed to show more of them.
They brought one
of
each, and it was only 11.
They said there was 11.
It was 11. And then the water one. The water one.
Oh, and then all the thousands of them that they can make at any point.
Exactly.
So again, nobody told this little girl, like, hey, girl. There's a lot more in the fridge.
So let's set up the end. So the end,
it's so
the
stupid.
Dinosaurs are all herded into a room that's got gas filling up that's going to kill them unless they are released.
It's toxic gas.
Unless they are released.
Throws Zanbar farting in the corner.
You have the one person who absolutely knows better, Chris Pratt, who stands back from a literal button.
It's a literal button.
A literal button and says, and looks at Bryce Dallas Howard and says, maybe you ought to reconsider doing that. It's like, no, maybe you ought to stop her and anyone from doing that. Why are you giving them a decision, you dumb son of a bitch? And
the button almost literally says, release dinosaurs.
Right. It's a giant red button.
Red lighted button.
And so he convinces Price Dallas, or no, he doesn't convince her. She just decides not to do it, and then they hug, and then, oh no, the little girl comes behind him
along
and presses the button.
The dumbest clone in history.
And she says, they're alive like me.
No. She sounded a lot like, what's her name? Fuck, I can't remember the character's name. What movie it's from?
The Exorcist.
They're just like me. They're just like me.
I think she says they're alive like me.
So whatever.
Whatever. It's
and then you're like, oh.
And then she presses
like,
the button.
And then they should throw her into the gas.
It's like, a fucking tiger's alive just like you too, but if a tiger's gonna maul 10 human beings, you kill the tiger. Like, that's not what's in question here.
It's only one human being, and he was a magician. He was fucking with nature. So.
it's not in question here. So they make this little, what, like 8-year-old girl? I can't. I don't know.
She's like 10, I think.
Something like that. Responsible for like crazy amount of deaths.
Everybody who dies from the end of this movie to whatever the next Jurassic World movie is.
It's on her.
And then cue Jeff Goldblum again to bookend it and say, we're in a Jurassic World.
Jurassic World.
And it's like, no, you're not, because
there's 11 of them.
There's 11 of them. It's like I said, like, you know, with Planet.
I didn't even catch up
with
that.
With Rise of the Planet, right. With Rise of the Planet of the Apes, my biggest thing was like, they have to give me a good reason why apes took over the planet. And they did. It was a great you saw that, right? It was a great, I don't want to say twist, because that's just the way, but I guess it was a twist, but it was a great way to do it. And I'm like, there's no way they could make this work for dinosaurs.
In each one, they just gave a little more. They didn't try to cram it all.
Right.
Plus, did they have trackers in all these dinosaurs? That was part of this movie.
I thought it was. I think they did. No, they did.
They had trackers.
They
do. There's 11 of them. You shoot them, and that's it.
Yeah.
Done. Bingo, bango, bongo.
They'll let the brachiosaurus stay. I mean, they're just eating plants.
They're just herbivores.
they're just giraffes.
Don't let the pachycephalosaurus get around people who like to whistle. That's his trigger.
Yeah,
hates whistles.
He was funny though. I like.
Yeah, so there really wasn't anything redeeming about this movie. Was it a popcorn?
I will say this
movie. But they make better ones. We saw one last night.
Now this one was directed by J.A. Bayona, who did A Monster Calls, which was a great movie. And he does. I mean, and he is in no part to blame for this movie.
This is all story.
It's all the script. Yeah. But it's a beautiful movie. I mean, he does. I mean, the cinematography is great. He's got some great shots in it and stuff like that. So I mean, he did his job. But it's Trevor. It's Trevorrow. I mean, the guy. Thank God they kicked him off of Star Wars. Thank God.
I don't know what he would have done.
Who knows?
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaur Jedi.
More Boba Fett clones.
More Boba
Fett. Already been done.
All right, so you can skip Jurassic World 2, Fallen Kingdom. A movie you should not skip. The movie you should go see right now. Right this
minute.
Jaws.
Go get it on Blu-ray. The movie you should go see right now is Incredibles 2. It's been 14 years since the first Incredibles. And Brad Bird has finally come to write and direct a sequel for Pixar and Disney. And it's great. I loved it. This one focuses more on Elastigirl, played by Holly Hunter. And Craig T. Nelson, who plays Mr. Incredible, he stays home with the kids. And that's hilarious. Jack-Jack, the baby, steals every scene he's in.
He's the best.
Hands down. The freaking raccoon.
That was great. His arch nemesis, the raccoon.
And it's all the same cast from the first one, except for Dash, because I guess that kid aged out of the role, basically. So they got a new kid to voice
Who
Dash.
Who played Violet?
That's Sarah Vowell. Sarah Vowell. She's a writer. She's been on like the Daily Show and stuff like that. Not as a correspondent, but as a guest and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
But she's not really an actress. It's really weird. Like I forget how they got her involved. How Brad Bird got her involved, and of course Brad Bird voices Edna Mode, and she's and I thought for sure, like, I was afraid what they were going to do with this movie is they were going to do like the Anchorman 2 thing where they just like. Everything got pushed to 11, basically, and they're like, more brick, more this, more that. And they didn't.
Very even keel.
Edna Mode is only in the one scene. She's only in the one, makes her that just like in the first movie. And she's, well, he, but yeah, great. So,
The character's great.
And I liked the new additions too. Bob Odenkirk and Catherine Keener play these siblings. Who Bob Odenkirk wants to bring the supers back and make them legal again. And this movie takes place like literally like, immediately after the first one.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, the beginning is
Underminer
fighting the Underminer, who's played by John Ratzenberger,
who
has still appeared in every single Pixar movie. They fight against the Underminer, and that's fun. But it's just a lot of fun, really, really funny.
What did you think of the movie?
I liked it. I think I like the first Incredibles more.
Yeah, the first one's better. I mean, because
I think I liked them even, but I can't argue with one way or the other.
Yeah, it was good.
What was it that kind of?
I didn't like the villain in this one. I don't know. There was something I thought Syndrome was a better.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Villain,
sure.
Yeah,
and then this one felt, I don't know,
a little forced.
Maybe a little forced. It felt like they were trying to like the old the twist, you know, to figure out who it's going to be again. Right. That felt like a repetition from the first movie.
Yeah.
Well, it felt like.
Well, I wouldn't say the first one that it was more natural because it wasn't a twist. It was just, oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It was a twist. I mean, it was a twist, though.
I wouldn't even. I guess I wouldn't even call it a twist. I would just call it a natural progression of the story.
But this one, I can see what you mean. It's like it felt like he wanted to tell another story just about them. And then he's like, I guess I have to have a villain in this. And then he kind of like, here, you know.
Yeah. And it's this is a kid's movie. So, I say that, you know, knowing everyone can enjoy it. But, you know, so you knew what was going to happen with the twins or with the siblings. Like, that was like where you were telegraphed from the beginning as well.
Yeah.
But, you know. I guess that's my only maybe critique of the movie, but I don't really consider it a critique because it's kind of works for all audience.
Oh yeah,
age ranges. So yeah. You kind of want everyone to know what's going on.
It's one of the. I mean, to me, it's one of the best movies of the year. Yeah, I mean easily. So too. I mean,
oh wow.
Oh yeah, I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was incredible.
Fantastic.
It's incredible. Okay. I was just watching Incredibles 1 before we started doing this, and the animation has really improved.
You did it wrong.
The animation has really improved. I found when I saw Incredibles 2 the second time, I was watching it, and it almost felt like they were almost, with the animation, they almost like made me feel like I was watching almost like Thunderbirds. Like a Thunderbirds, you know, like they were like the marionettes almost, like the way like they, you know.
Well, see, I appreciated
the way they look. Just stylized.
I appreciated that they didn't go overboard with the animation that they could have done, and that they kept it more true to the original.
Oh yeah, it's very stylized. Yeah. It's very stylized. But Incredibles, the first Incredibles, was the first one, and because I'm watching it, I'm like. I don't know. Everything looks just a
was
little
it the
bit.
Third, second, third Pixar movie.
It was the fourth one.
Was it fourth?
Yeah.
So it was
Toy
Story. Toy
Story, and then it was. No. Was it the fifth one?
It can't be the fifth one.
Toy Story. Bug's Life.
Yeah.
Then it was Toy Story 2, right?
Yeah.
And then Monsters Inc.
Did Monsters Inc. come out before Incredibles?
Yeah. Yeah. Monsters Inc. was 2003.
Okay. All right.
And then Incredibles was 2004.
All right.
But Incredibles is the first one that had all human characters in it. All the other ones, like Toy Story is about the toys, and then like there's like the one kid, and then, you know, the Bug's Life is obviously about the bugs, and the monsters, and you know, there's Boo, but the rest are all monsters. So that's why I think the animation was like it just a little. You can see it showing its age a little bit because in the first Incredibles, because they hadn't completely mastered it yet to have just all humans all the time, you know, they hadn't gotten there all the way yet, whereas with this one it's great, it's perfect, but yeah, it's a ton of fun. We don't really need to go into the plot. It's just
pretty
a lot of fun.
Standard fare,
and the action set pieces I thought were great. I mean, they rival like any live action, you know, set piece. You know, I mean, obviously they can do whatever they want because it's animation, but it's just like what they did with Elastigirl and stuff like that, her powers, stuff like that, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, and again, like you said, it centered around her. If you do want to give the plot, it's basically in order to, you know, the superheroes have been kind of hidden away, I guess.
Because they're illegal. They're illegal.
They're illegal now, and the siblings are trying to legalize
them
again,
right.
And they use Elastigirl as like a spokesperson to bring them back, and then shit happens.
Right, and Frozone's in it too. Again,
yeah,
Sam Jackson's back as Frozone.
Yeah, but Jack is
Jack steals
stealer.
The movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he steals the movie.
He's amazing.
He's so great, and
I think Violet and Jack were the two standouts.
I like
me.
Violet too.
Yeah, I like all the kids. I mean, I
Dash.
I like, I mean, Dad, that's not the way they want you to do it. Math is math. I don't know how to do it that way. Math is math. Why did they change math?
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it's really cute. It's a good, you know, it's a nice movie to take your family to. And
yeah,
definitely go see that instead of going to see Jurassic World 2.
Oh yeah, that's not even a question.
God awful. What else?
A. Give it an A. Move on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
A minus. We're talking about Jurassic World 2, right?
Right, of course.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, so you liked it better than Black Panther and Infinity War?
I did.
Did you? Wow.
Yeah, I think I did.
But I'm not as involved in that universe as you guys are. Like, I mean, that's part of you growing up. That's almost like your DNA, right? I didn't know anything about those stories until the movies anyway, so.
Yeah. I guess I just don't. I mean, Pixar movies are always really good to me, but I never, like, have to watch them again and again.
Sure. They've been very, very good to me.
Baseball been very good.
No, I think it's... I mean, and that's not to take anything away from Infinity War or Black Panther. It's not like I'm saying, they're shit! You know, I mean, they're really good movies. But Incredibles 2, I mean, that's probably the most fun I've had at the theater the whole year so far.
Hmm.
I thought it was fantastic. It was... mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. And Kevin Feige watches and he goes, "You're making my job harder." How am I going to bring Reed Richards in when I just because I'm doing Elastigirl?
Yeah, definitely see that one.
Definitely see that. If you're an adult, go check out First Reformed with Ethan Hawke if you can find it.
It's really good.
It's a really good movie.
The more I thought about it, the more I liked it.
It's a really good movie.
Thinker.
Yeah, it is. There's one scene in it that's, well, a couple scenes towards it. As it gets to the end, it gets kind of weird, but it's really good.
That probably wasn't necessary to put that in there. That's definitely artistic license.
Yeah.
But it's a super good movie. I actually really enjoyed it.
And I definitely need to go see Mr. Rogers. That's playing around here now, finally. So I definitely need to go see that. And Ant-Man's this week. So
yeah.
Hopefully that'll be... good. From what I hear, everyone says it's pretty lightweight, but it's funny.
It adds an extra layer to the original Ant-Man. Like it takes it up a little level, which is good because the Ant-Man was good, but man, let's just hope this villain's better.
Yeah, it can't be worse.
It can't be worse.
I just watched the How It Should Have Ended for Ant-Man recently, and it was fucking hilarious. They're just like, you had that tank the whole time. You could just he goes okay, and he takes the tank and just smashes up the whole fucking building. They go woo,
the little tank on his keychain.
And then Batman's like, but if it's proportional, wouldn't that be like weigh like 60 tons? Eh, science.
They also did the one for Infinity War.
Yeah, you're right. That makes
I did see that one. That was
right.
Funny
that
too.
That makes no sense.
It does. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
There's a lot of stuff in Ant-Man that doesn't make sense.
Well, they continue that in this movie too,
with the rolling of the building.
Yeah. But yeah, so.
Hopefully Ghost is cool.
I hope so.
Like, the power is kind of cool.
Is she a comic from a comic?
It's a man in the comic book, but yeah.
Okay. And it's an Iron Man villain.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Interesting. I guess that means we're not doing more Iron Man movies.
I'll talk to you all about it after the podcast. I'm just curious, is it from another realm, or is it human? Is she human and got some special suit?
Well, in the comic, I think it's the suit.
Yeah, it's a suit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
she's made it. There's another super suit.
Every Iron Man movie, every Iron Man villain, I should say, is tech in some way.
Gotcha.
I'm almost positive she's Goliath's daughter in this one.
Like, oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Well, played by
Larry Fishburne.
Larry Fishburne.
Oh, okay.
I got up to 21 feet. 65.
If you guys are done comparing sizes. 65.
Look forward to it.
Can't wait to see what Walton Goggins does. Hopefully he's good.
I'm not betting he's going to be that great in this movie.
I like him.
No, nothing against him. I'm just saying he's like the. I think he's like
good in pretty much everything.
The side villain, so he's going to probably get kind of shortchanged, I think. I will say Ant-Man was
short. Short chain.
I will say Ant-Man was probably my favorite part of Civil War. I loved him as a
war. Oh, he was great.
He was good.
Who is saying that? It's your conscience. We haven't talked in a long time. You're going to take this in the shop.
You're going to take this in the shop.
What does this do? And that'll do it for this episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast. We'd like to thank Matt for stopping by again. Thanks, Matt.
Well, you're welcome.
Thanks, Dirty A.
You'd like to thank Matt.
Our next episode
you
will...
You'd love to thank
Matt. That's right.
Our next episode will more than likely be Ant-Man. Oh, and I saw you too a couple weeks ago.
No, I'm
right. He's right there.
I saw you too a couple weeks ago. Set list could have been a little bit better, gotta be honest. I went from Depeche Mode where I was like, this is the greatest set list ever to... Yeah, it was all right.
There's some sad news for you, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
Depeche Mode will be no more.
That's what I'm hearing. It's not, you know, it's not official, but it's... There's a strong possibility. I don't know if there'll be no more.
This is the year of Depeche Mode for you. Next week we're going to go see Erasure.
I know. But it's possible they might. I don't know. It's possible they might just stop touring, or they might stop the big tours. But I don't know. Did you still want that playlist so you know what the hell they're going to be singing?
I will be fine.
Okay.
I'll know their three songs, four maybe, and I'll enjoy the rest.
I'll bring my iPod so we can listen to some of it, so you can familiarize yourself.
I just keep hearing the bubbly sound from Always in my head.
So sad to miss this show.
And then the next night I go see Arcade Fire. That won't be a weird show either.
They're the ones that make all their own clothes.
Yes, they're pretentious as fuck.
There's like 38 people in the band.
They're great. I mean, they're great, but it's
spoons.
But it's just they're just weird. They're really weird.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll see you next time, folks. Talk to you later.